B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Corey, how close were you to remaining a Bruin?
Not close. Well, there was just no communication. Nothing happened. So, like I said before, once the opportunity presented itself to be a Blue, I had to take a chance and jump on it.
Wouldn't mind getting your thoughts on this too, Chris, and you at 617-779-0985. Torrey Krug gone, signing with the St. Louis Blues last night. 6 years, $6.5 million annually. He sounded kind of pissed in that Zoom little press conference he did late last night, and that there was no communication between him and the team. Sure, good for him, get that money. But it does feel like he still wanted to come back here, and the team just said, no, we're good, and pushed away from the table, which I could kind of understand. Like, I get that he was kind of he was like great in that locker room, loved being here. I always kind of thought overrated, undersized, good on the power play. That's about it. Defensive liability at times. I'm okay with him moving on.
Yeah, I am too. And it's not because I don't like Torrey Krug. I do like Torrey Krug. But again, it's sort of what we talked about a little bit with Belichick and Brady. And can you get something that's 70 to 75% of it? And I feel like in Grizzlick, they have that. And it's cheaper. He's not as good as Krug. I freely admit that. But I think he's 70% of him. And they can look at other areas of that roster and try and add. Now, our good friend DJ Bean just tweeted something that I agree with wholeheartedly, which is like, yeah, Craig Smith, good addition, but if he's the best winger they add this offseason, that's disappointing and it's not enough. And I would feel the same way. But I do think that taking into account the Torrey Krug situation and what's going to happen down the line with McAvoy and all that, they needed to sort of reallocate their resources a little bit, and spending $6.6 million on Krug, to me, didn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, and I'd like to think that they're still going to make another move here, but, you know, it is the Bruins, so I'm not going to hold up my hopes on that too much. There's been rumors of them being interested in Taylor Hall.
Seems like they're trying to sell him on a shorter term, as they like to say in hockey, term. Seems like they're trying to sell him on a shorter term. I'm looking on Twitter, Bruins cap space saying they have $11.7 million in cap space left at this point after signing Craig Smith.
But he's been a nomad, doesn't stick anywhere. It always...
He's won a Hart trophy, though.
I always reminded of something that Felger said years ago, and it always brings up anytime his name comes up, is that he had spoke to someone who was once Taylor Hall's teammate and said he was the worst teammate he ever played with in the NHL.
Okay, that's not good.
And there's got to be a reason that the guy can't stick anywhere, right? Like,
well, he doesn't want to stay in the desert in Arizona, though, right? I mean, he that's not something he's really looking to do. And now the word is, if you read all these hockey guys, that he's looking to win. So maybe he's matured a little bit, that, you know, his focus in free agency isn't necessarily cashing in, it's winning. Now we'll see if he puts his money where his mouth is, and if that's the case, because I think the Bruins would be up pretty high on his list then. But he's certainly talented, and I also think it'd just be kind of cool. Remember the whole, you know, Taylor Tyler thing? Obviously the Bruins end up with Sagan. If both those guys end up playing for the Bruins, there's something about that that I find kind of cool, and I think he could help their team. I mean, they clearly need more firepower to compete with the Lightning. And when I look at this past season, as well as they played President's Trophy, I know the shutdown hurt them, Jim, but I also thought they kind of deluded themselves into believing their roster was better than it really was based on going to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, having it in your building, and blowing it. Because the reality is the path they had to get to that Stanley Cup Final could not have been any easier. You didn't have to face Tampa Bay. Columbus did the dirty work for you. You didn't have to face the Capitals. You didn't have to face a team like the Penguins, who, you know, obviously are in a different place now and a little disappointing, but you didn't have to really face any of the big guns. You got out of the first round with Toronto, then it was beat Columbus, then it was beat Carolina that you own, and then it was the Blues, who you should have defeated. So I feel like the Bruins thought they were closer than they really were, then had a great regular season, then got in the bubble, and then basically Tampa Bay, you know, taught them, you're not as close as you think.
They are not. So Torrey Krug gone. You want to weigh in on that? 617-779-0985. Craig Smith in. I mean, to have a more boring name. It's just so perfect. Torrey Krug, who I think most, if not all, Bruins fans love, gone. People, I think, upset about that. There doesn't seem to be a gray area. Yeah, I'm bummed about that. Yay. Let's get excited for Craig Smith. Woo. Wee. And why is the goalie still here? We'll get to that coming up later. More of your calls on the NFL. Brady, Patriots playing Monday against the Denver Broncos. Tom and Newton, you're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just want to weigh on this point you made earlier about how the NFL had, you know, 6 months to be prepared for this thing. I mean, you see some of these videos, and it seems like, you know, most of these facilities are pretty, you know, well-prepared in terms of social distancing and cleaning everything. But, you know, the fact that it's basically inevitable that, you know, guys were going to get this thing away from the facility and you were going to have guys test positive, and that we're sitting here, you know, basically shoehorning these games into, you know, Mondays and Tuesdays where, you know, the incubation period for this thing is, what, like 7 to 10 days? And you're delaying games like 24, 48 hours where guys can still spread it. It's like we're making it up on the fly. Like, how did the NFL, you know, with all the time it had to prepare, and it seems like they did, you know, put a number of measures into place, you know, have no contingency plan for what we're going to do? I mean, there's going to be no sports on this winter. They have all the time in the world, have makeup weeks, delay the Super Bowl. Like, what are we doing? Like, the fact we're just making it up as we go, it just blows my mind. I don't know. It's frustrating.
I can understand it, Tom. They're half-assing it, and that's the American way. I mean, that's why I can understand why he and others and Bedard was like out of his mind when he made his appearance on Felgren Mass this week. I get it. I'm just not that guy at this point. Like I whatever the worst is going to happen, I expect it to happen. Toothpaste out of the tube with this whole thing. We handled this pandemic terribly. What the hell are you going to do? So let's just play the games and let's continue to play a shell game with the games. We can't play it Sunday. Let's play it Monday. Can't play it Monday. Let's play it Tuesday. Just get the damn thing in. That's the way I look at it. Dan in Florida on Brady down in Tampa and how ugly that's been. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, hey, Murray, thank you for taking my call. Hey, you carry the show on the 2 to 4, Monday through Friday, so full compliment.
He carries this one, too.
Well, thanks.
No, you do pretty well. Also, I loved how you gave Felger the business the other day on the whole Brady thing. Anyways, did you notice Brady yelling? It looked like he mouthed, "You guys are my effing teammates." Like, and then he said something else. I don't know. I don't know what that is. He's mad at his offensive line, and they are offensive.
That's a good way to put it.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, and look, sometimes it's unbecoming. And, you know, when he ripped into Joey Galloway years ago, the whole fight with Bill O'Brien, when he lost his mind in Buffalo on Josh McDaniels, when he overthrew, who was it? The little overrated guy who never really actually produced
Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks, yeah.
The little overrated guy who never...
You know exactly what I was talking about. You know, there's been times where it's like, okay, like, what are you doing, Tom? Like, you're at fault here. Like, calm down. This thing, lighten up that offensive line, those idiots, when at one point, I mean, Chris, it was first and 30 because of penalties? Like, yeah. Like,
it actually got to first and 34.
Jeez, like, what are you, like, guys, like, he's not used to this. So that's, you know, as much as I hate watching it, it's got to be kind of a humbling moment for him, too. Like, oh, God, what have I done? You know I got sick of Bill's crap and how he treated me, and I should have been treated better. And, oh, boy, what have I done? I have left what was as tight a ship as there is in the league in professional sports history, and now I've come to this disaster, and that's what it is. Like, it's the osmosis of stupidity that's starting to seep in on him, too. Like, forgetting what down it is at the end of the game, it's inexcusable.
It's inexcusable. That's 100% on him. I mean, it's sad. Like I said, it's the mental equivalent for a quarterback whose whole brand is basically comebacks and being one step ahead and being the smartest guy on the field to forget how many downs there are. It is the mental equivalent of Willie Mays with the Mets at the end stumbling and bumbling around in center field.
Or how about this, like David Ortiz at the end getting rung up on a strike three, hears it and is like, no, I'm not out yet. Like, I got four strikes. Like, no. Like, pay attention, dude. What are you doing? Dan and Cranston on Brady and the Bucks. Go ahead.
Hey, Jim. Hi. Chris. Hey, quick Eddie Van Halen note. I figured this is pretty common knowledge. A couple of years ago, he did an interview, I think it was with Rolling Stone. He used to take brass and copper guitar picks and leave them in his mouth. And he was saying they found the cancer on his tongue. And that's pretty much where it all started.
Yeah,
you know that?
I read this the other day. I know look, you can convince yourself you caught whatever it is from whatever. I mean, given his alcohol abuse over decades.
Well, that was part of it.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, maybe it did, but I don't know. Like, I read that, and it's like, okay, if you want to convince yourself of that, Eddie, like, sure. But I think it was probably years of alcohol abuse.
Yeah, that too. And real quick with Brady, look, if, you know, 20 years down there, if he would have been lucky to win one Super Bowl in this environment, the 2007 Tom Brady could not make this team better than 11-5. And I think that part of the fourth down thing, I think he got so preoccupied with two things. One, worrying about his offensive line committing a penalty, and two, getting his clock clacked, you know what I mean, getting his bell rung. I think he just, he got so preoccupied, he just lost his mind.
That, or maybe
literally, yeah, combination of everything.
Dan, thanks for the call. Maybe he was concussed too. I mean, if you did watch it, he spent most of that second half on his ass. Like,
he did.
I didn't have an answer for Khalil Mack.
I mean, Donovan Smith is the Tampa Bay turnstile. That guy's brutal at left tackle. The other kid worse isn't bad. I mean, I know Mack like tossed him to the ground with one hand at one point, but
he
I mean,
threw him like a pillow.
Mack's just a monster. I mean, he is. The worst kid is good. Donovan Smith, oof, he is not good. Not good.
Having a hard time watching that team. I really am. I mean, the comeback against the LA Chargers a couple of weeks ago, great. And that really only turned with that bad fumble that dumb team had before the end of the first half. And it's like, okay, oh, give Brady a window. He's going to take advantage. And he did with five touchdowns, five different guys. But still, like, if you really do pay attention, you've watched Brady with the Bucs so far this season, it is a just undisciplined, stupid mess down there.
It is. It is a special kind of stupid. But all that being said, they are 3-2. And the two losses are to playoff teams.
True.
So, I mean, we're sort of talking about them like they're the Jets and they're winless, or they're like your Falcons, winless, and they're not. So we'll see. You know, maybe Tom, to this point, again, I feel like without an offseason and a training camp, I feel like Tampa Bay has rubbed off more on Tom than Tom has rubbed off on Tampa Bay. But there's still a ways to go. Let's see what happens the next four or five games, I think, are crucial. Green Bay is very good. At Vegas, they should win that. At Giants, they should win that. New Orleans at home, they need to win that. And then at Carolina. Let's see what happens.
All right, we have a COVID NFL update courtesy of Adam Schefter that could affect some of the games going forward. We will update you on that. Coming up next here on Gasper Murray, you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. As I mentioned, there was an update from Adam Schefter. NFL ESPN, ESPN NFL Insider, rather. And he tweeted just minutes ago, there's no new positives in Tennessee or New England. So that's good. But there's now two other positive tests in the NFL. One for a practice squad player in Chicago, but the Bears have been closed since Thursday night. And a strength and conditioning coach in Kansas City.
Uh-oh.
Tracing is ongoing. But I know that I think, and rightfully so, a lot of the concern was whether or not Patrick Mahomes is going to come down to it after Stephon Gilmore has his positive test. And then we see that photo that made the rounds, Chris, at the end of that game where Gilmore is right in Patrick Mahomes' face at the end of the Patriots' loss to Kansas City, being like, hey, good game. Breathing all over him. So if it's just a strength and conditioning coach, like, okay, you know, we hope the best for him. But, like, no players, like, that's the thing that concerns me the most. Like, make sure that, you know, these players aren't testing positive. But still, something to keep an eye on, as you had the false positive with the Jets, which put that game in jeopardy with the Cardinals yesterday. What's going on with the Patriots here? But the good thing is that for now, what is it, three straight days? No positive tests.
Yeah.
For the Pats in this game on Sunday, looks like Monday rather, looks like it's a go against the Denver Broncos. Matt in Rhode Island, you're next here with Chris and I. Hello.
Hey guys, what happened to that win or lose me booze thing? Is that still a thing or?
Well, with Bruce Arians, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's going on.
Yeah,
down
no,
there right
I
now.
Was wondering if they're partying on the way home from Chicago. But basically, my point is, I think you know Brady's seeing now through four or five games. I forget which one in New England. I mean, penalties are going to happen, but these guys are going to be held accountable in the meeting room. You know, I mean, from Brady on down, right? So I think, obviously, it's a badly coached team. That's probably an understatement, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just like, I really think he feels like, I mean, with all that talent on their personnel, which, is, I mean, barring some injuries, is impressive. you know, they're still just like, I mean, they're awful to watch. Like, I was agreeing with you totally. Like, can't stand watching these games, but, you know, we'll just see what happens from here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt. And maybe that's what it comes down to, and that ultimately is why I say they're poorly coached. There's a real lack of accountability with that team, you can tell. You know, a guy like Mike Evans is talented, but I can't stand watching him, Chris, because I think he's a fundamentally stupid football player. Like, that OPI that he had on that drive where they just kept having penalty after penalty after penalty.
Yeah, he just shoved the guy.
And I've seen him do that a few times already this season.
He loses his cool. You can definitely get under his skin. Like, he's the type of guy that, like, Aqib Talib always knew these guys. He has a little Michael Crabtree in him, where you can get them ticked off and unfocused and off their game, and it's more about sort of defending their honor and their rep than it is doing what's best for the team.
So, you know, say that, you know, Newton gets injured or Newton can't get cleared here, and say, like, worst case scenario, the Patriots actually lose this game against Denver, even though they shouldn't, even if they just run the ball the whole time on Monday. And now the Patriots are sub-500, and they go into their bye week with a lot of questions like, this is a mess so far. Do you think that the two miss each other a little bit with the way that if Patriots were lose on Monday, inexcusable loss to Denver, Brady, the way that he played, that inexcusable thing that he did for getting the downs at the end of that game, how it's been a mess down there and it's inconsistent and poorly coached. Like, do you think that these two are sitting back this week or maybe over the next couple of weeks and saying, don't know what you got till it's gone? You know, like, I wouldn't blame them if they did.
I would feel the same way. I think, you know, maybe miss is a strong word, but greater appreciation for how the other part of the partnership put them in position to do what they do best. And I think Bill has sort of skated a little bit in the sense that he has Cam Newton, who's an MVP caliber quarterback when healthy, and he is healthy and took a team to a Super Bowl. Now, Cam Newton, again, is not Tom Brady. But again, can he be 70 to 75% of him? Yes. So for Bill, it's like, okay, this is fine. You know, I'm good. But now you see what it's like when you have a quarterback who's not that caliber. And go back to Cleveland. You know, when he had Vinny Testaverde, he won one playoff game. And I've always sort of
against the Pats.
I've always sort of disagreed with this narrative that, like, Bill suddenly got it when he got to New England. I think he was, and apparently he does too, or we wouldn't have had to watch that Cleveland 95 documentary that basically said they were, like, you know, 2 minutes away from winning five consecutive Super Bowls. So obviously he thought he had it figured out in Cleveland. I just think it's kind of a fallacy that, like, he got to Foxborough and all of a sudden was like, I learned from my mistakes. And what he learned was, don't be in a crappy franchise with a crappy owner. But if he could just take anybody and turn them into Tom Brady, he would have done it with Drew Bledsoe. With Ryan Mallett or Rohan Davey or anybody like that. The quarterbacks he's had success with, obviously Tom Brady, even Matt Castle went to another organization, took that team to the playoffs and made a Pro Bowl. So I'm not saying he's elite, but there was, like, a baseline of talent there that was basically, like, borderline Pro Bowl quarterback. Jimmy G, not the biggest fan, but I do have to admit, you know, he did quarterback a team to a Super Bowl, kind of. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett, who actually turned out to be way better than Hoyer and turned out to be an, you know, okay start, middling starter. So I guess that's kind of my point. Like, this idea that he can take anybody, that he's just going to pick up somebody off the scrap heap and turn them into, that he could take, like, Geno Smith and go 10-6, which is kind of what Felger puts out there, is complete tripe. Like, it's just not true. He like most coaches, he needs a baseline level of talent at that position to be able to win and win playoff games. And maybe that's where the appreciation of Brady comes from this week, realizing, like, oh, when I don't have, like, an MVP franchise caliber quarterback, this is a lot harder. When I have a guy out there who doesn't know how many timeouts we have, who is turning the ball over in the red zone, this is much harder than I thought. And Brady had that stuff down.
Go to Tom and Quincy. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's good?
Hey, Jim, I'm with you with the feeling about Brady. It's tough to watch. Like, that game the other night was, like, a hard watch. Because after the 20 years of absolute, you know, borderline excellence at that position with, you know, people that are professional and do the job the right way and don't make stupid mistakes, when you watch him on that team that plays as sloppy and stupid and undisciplined as they do, I don't care if you have the most gifted athletic ability at key positions, you are not going to win games when it matters, when you are that poorly coached. And it only took 4.5 weeks for arguably the best player in the history of the NFL
to become hinged and implode because of the lack of knowledge of actual regular football and cluelessness amongst the offensive line on how to play that game.
Oh, Tom, it's
tough to watch.
It is, and thanks for the call.
To watch.
It's beneath him is what it is. It really is. After how he had performed, what he'd been surrounded by, as crisp as everything had been run over the last two decades, for him to slum it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and for him to finish that game the way he did with that kind of stupid play, which, you know, almost when I think happened by osmosis, by being surrounded by such stupidity. Oh, sitting there watching, it's like, oh, so this is how the other half lives, huh?
Yeah.
Like people that have been rooting for lesser teams and players all these years.
But I will say this, Brady has to own this, like he has to own the fourth down thing. He chose it.
Oh,
he chose that team.
Yeah.
He went into it with eyes wide open. Yep. You know, he liked the weapons there. He wanted a coach who wanted to institute and integrate more fun into the program.
He wanted fun.
He chose this. So, I mean, you know, he can't really complain. I mean, you had to know who the offensive line was, who the left tackle was, who the coach you were dealing with was. And one area where I will say I think Felge was right, you know, I underestimated Chicago. Now, do I think the coach is good? No, I don't. I think he completely mishandled what was happening at the end of that game. So he's not a great situational coach either. And also, did you see Foles upbraiding him on the sideline when he felt like they had Tampa on the ropes and he wanted to go no huddle? And there's Nagy looking at his little laminated play sheet when the stadium could be on fire and he's making a substitution. So I don't think that guy's a great coach, but that team, great defense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That defense, sure. I mean, Brady with a team that's, you know, also sort of undisciplined, but maybe slightly more disciplined in Chicago, and with an elite defense, which Chicago has, he would have been better off there. Felge's right about that.
Or even New Orleans. If Drew Brees ended up retiring, there was some reported interest there.
Yeah,
you
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton.
Yep. Ugh. I mean, San Francisco was his first choice.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. But that's where he wanted to go.
Instead, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ugh, man.
Just gross. We'll continue to take your calls on the Patriots, Tom Brady down to the Bucs. Even if you want to crow and be like, aha, Murray, enjoy it. I hope you're enjoying that, watching Brady with the Bucs on Thursday. You have at it at 617-779-0985. Do want to touch on another Bruins thing, though, is they've made a couple of moves here and that they don't bring Torrey Krug back. He seemed pissed about that. They signed the boring-sounding Craig Smith today. And they still have the goalie, which is still annoying me because I thought within the last few days here, he'd be gone. No more Tuukka Rask, but he's still here. Want to touch on that next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
From a physical standpoint, mental standpoint, how are you feeling here after back-to-backs?
Well, I mean, considering I had 4 months off, so, I mean, not in prime shape, but you know, trying to get there, just trying. I'm just trying to have fun and you know, play the game. I'm not stressing too much about results and whatnot. You know, it's August and haven't played hockey forever, so just go out there, have fun, and see what happens for me.
Oh, let's crack open some Schmitz Gay, boys. You want to keep dealing with that? Just a guy who looked at his career and game to game as one big shrug? Just trying to have fun out there. I'm not going to stress about it, whatever. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, so I have to scratch this itch. For the first time since he abruptly left the NHL playoff bubble, Tuukka Rask has broken his silence. And he made it clear he does not want to play for anyone else except the Bruins, Chris.
That's good. Yes. Thanks, Tuukka.
Here is the gist of it from Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald. For those of you that didn't read it, or maybe you've gone past the three free articles and you don't want to pay. Here's the quote. I don't want to play for anybody else but the Bruins. I've been here for a long time. And the organization has been so great for me. We've built our home in Boston. And we call this home. So, yeah, I don't want to play for anybody else. I think where my head is at focusing on next year and then hopefully a couple more years. And then pass the torch for the next guy after that. I want to help the organization as much as I can. End quote. Couple more years, not just one more year of Tuukka Rask and his just a painfully predictable outcome, but three, I'm good. I'm good. Nope. Time to move on. As when NHL free agency opened up, Chris, I've been sitting here waiting to hit that that button of Sports Hub breaking news. Tuukka Rask has been traded because, of course, there's been rumors kicking around. He's got 15 teams he could be traded to. Where is he going? He's still here. So other than the members of the People's Temple of Tuukka who keep drinking the Kool-Aid with this guy, anyone with half a working brain knows it's time to move on. We're good here. He's done in Boston. Rational fans, and that's the term, that's the key term, rational fans, rational Bruins fans, no matter how much they love the Bruins, you know you're not happy with them. You're not happy with Rask. He's likely going to get abused. First time he's back on the Garden ice, and we're able to go to the games again, and it's back to normal-ish. First time he gives up a softy, he's going to get booed. Boo, it's not Tuukka. But are they booing me, Smithers? Oh, you're damn right they are. Boo, boo. It's time to move on. Both parties need a new start. They both need to go their separate ways. And selfishly, I will admit, in regard to this job and my fandom of the team, enough. I've had enough. Get him out of here. I'm tired of arguing about this stiff and all his pumped up dumb stats that have produced absolutely nothing. I'm Rasked out. I've had enough Rask. Too much Rask. I'm out. Bring in another veteran that'll let me down rather than this veteran that this one we have, because I'm tired of this act. No more Tuukka. Maybe just go, because you were asking me, well, then who, Jim? Like, that's just, then who? Then who's it going to be? Who? Like an owl. Who? Jaroslav Halak and this Jeremy Swayman, this kid from Maine that apparently yes. everyone loves.
Yep.
Who I think was stuck in Alaska for a time this summer during the quarantine. Like, he was, because he's originally from Alaska and couldn't, like, get back to mainland USA. I don't know if he's still stuck in Alaska. Hopefully that's not the case. But, you know, Halak to start, and then, you know, maybe you've struck gold with this kid Swayman, who everybody loved from Maine, and maybe he turns out to be the next Jordan Binnington, who, if you even want to say was a flash in the pan, at least he won a cup. Enough. I'm Rasked out. No more Rask.
Okay,
please trade him.
So I hear you. I hear you. But here's the thing. I understand what you're saying. I sort of disagree with you on Tuukka, but I'll say this. I think it's irresponsible for Don Sweeney to just do what you're saying to do based on the fact that this guy is incredibly high maintenance. He's a high maintenance hockey player. We all know that. And not have a serviceable replacement, because we lived the Jaroslav Halak experience. And again, he's not good enough to take them to a cup. And you have a team with a window that's now. And so you can't go into the season with a giant question mark in net. So I hear what you're saying, but you have to have a viable replacement. You know, Braden Holtby's off the market. He landed in Vancouver. Lundqvist is off the market.
I didn't want him. He's handsome Rask.
Okay. I love that. Handsome
he
Rask.
He is. Pumped up stats. You went to one cup. You crapped your pants. Like, again, I didn't want him either.
That's tremendous. Okay, but you have to have, like, I mean, rolling the dice on Jeremy Swayman, especially given the Bruins' history of drafting and developing netminders, I mean, that's a big risk. So I understand what you're saying, but sometimes, you know, you've been in these relationships, Jim. You have somebody who's high maintenance, really hot, can really perform. Sometimes you just have to ride the wave, because if you go with the steady six, you're not going to get what you want in the end.
No, it's time for a steady six. Good conversation. Enjoys a meal. Maybe a little too much. But, like, that's what I want now, because I've had it. I've had it. And you talk a window, Chris? Let me act the Foley artist here. I wish I had a sound effect queued up, so I'll do it live.
Okay.
The window's closed. The window closed game seven when you blew it against the Blues at home. And then you had another opportunity in the bubble this time around, and you blew it because you're not as good as Tampa. Windows closed. So let's shake it up and start something anew with the Bruins.
So you want to blow the whole thing up, not just Tuukka?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ish. I want a major shakeup here. It's time to move on from some of these guys, because, ow, it's starting to hurt my hand.
I was going
to
say, be careful over there.
Windows closed. The window's closed. They're not, as long as Tampa is the way that Tampa is. Like right now, and they're not winning a cup.
Those are like the windows in my grandmother's old house where they just close on their own. Like, you know, you'd be sitting there and all of a sudden some window that's loose in the frame would like slam itself down. And you're like, ooh. And they'd always be like, instead of fixing it, it would be like, oh, be careful. Don't put your fingers under there. And it's like, could you just fix it?
It's time to shake things up.
You really don't want Tuukka that bad, huh?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think the fact that they brought in the eminently, interestingly named Craig Smith today, and that they're chasing Taylor Hall, tells you that Don Sweeney and Cam Neely feel differently. They think they're close, and I think Tuukka is going to be here. I do think they need to start grooming the next guy, whether that's Swayman or whatever. I would maybe see what's going on in New Jersey. New Jersey just signed Corey Crawford. Maybe they'll give you Corey Schneider, who's a local kid from Marblehead. Great guy. Maybe somebody like Schneider could come in here. If you had like a Schneider-Halak tandem, I would be interested in rolling the dice on that. But I just think they're stuck. Like they have to stick with Tuukka. They can't, you know, they're married to Tuukka. And he's, you know, super streaky and he's super hot and he's like really high maintenance and unpredictable and a giant pain in the rear end. But they're locked in and they got nowhere else to go.
Enough. It's time for the divorce. I hate this marriage. Matt in Rockland on the Bruins goaltender situation. Go ahead.
Hey. First of all, I wanted to talk just about the goaltender situation, but you're underplaying the loss of crew because most games are won or lost on the power play or power kill, and he's a specialist.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where they'll miss him, but otherwise, when it's 5-on-5,
like, I don't miss him, though. Like,
so are you upset that they...
But I agree with you. Like, I'm so frustrated. Like, what are they going to do with the goalie situation?
Well, what do you want to see them do, Matt?
Oh, well, again, like, Tuukka's good. He's just overpaid. He's not great.
All right, too many pauses there for Matt.
Yeah, I know.
You hung on for a while. Yes. I thought you would have brought
that it. That was like sort of the Craig Smith of callers.
Just there. Fine. Not good, not really bad, just kind of there.
Like, I was referring more to the name than the actual talent of the player.
The Craig Smith of callers. Very good, Chris. we'll go back to any of the calls that we have still hung over from our NFL conversation. Brady, how ugly it's looked at the bus.
Hung over. Most
Thursday.
Of the listeners to the show are hung over, whether on the phone lines or not.
So's the host. Yeah. Stephen Fall River, go ahead.
I hope I can bring up the talent of caller pool here. I'm glad you brought up Sean Payton. Sean Payton has had Drew Brees his entire career. He's not even 2-for-1. His winning percentage isn't even 2 games for every loss. Meanwhile, you also brought up the fact that you got to have a baseline of quality at quarterback to do something. Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in the world, and he is a great coach.
He is.
But guess what? Without Tom Brady, he's under 500. He's 1 game over in New England, and he's 5 or 6 games under in the rest of his career.
Cleveland.
Now, is that an anomaly? So what did I do? I went and looked up.
A door just opened.
Wait a minute. I went and looked up another coach that had the benefit of a great player, and he's the same way. He was 3-1, and why I'm drawing a blank on who I looked up. Let me go to the third guy I looked up, Mike Shanahan. Remember he was a genius back in the day?
Yeah. He was great with Elway.
Yeah, he was great with Elway. He had 3-1. He had a 3-1 ratio with Elway. It was 47-17. Well, guess what? He was 2 games over 500 without Elway. The other coach, and damn it, it's on my Facebook. I can't think of who it is.
But what's the team? Do you remember the team? Maybe we can help
I'm
you with the coach.
I'm going to look it up. Give me 1 second.
I don't have that kind of time. Steve, thanks for the call. I mean, that call was boring me, too. I appreciate it. But like,
come on, Jeff. Yeah, I wanted the information.
Let me go look it up on Facebook.
Come on. You just Belgered him. You've been doing it. I wanted to know who the other coach was.
He can text me.
Mainly, I wanted him to stay on because he was basically making my point and reinforcing it. All that information was excellent.
I'm calling my dad. Hold on. I mean, I got it here somewhere. I can't remember, Jim. How's Jasmine? Just come on. Like, get to it. I don't have that kind of time. People dropping like flies with the pandemic. Eddie Van Halen dies this week. You know, you get to it. Call, pick up, have the take. Thank you for the call, though. I appreciate it, Steve. At least you were better than the guy before who was the Craig Smith of callers. I don't know what just happened there. Long commercial-free segment coming up next. One open line if you'd like to join us. Please be good. Please be ready. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on Rask. Are you, like me, you're upset that he's still here?
We tapped out on Tuukka.
Rumors of trades surrounding Tuukka Rask, but yet still here. So you feel good about that because you're still boohoo Tuukka crew and you love him, you want to defend him, and you bring up all his
fancy
stuff.
Or just a masochist.
Or you're an anti-Rasker. See?
Anti-Rasker.
I got to credit Ryan, who tweeted in and said, just to be ironic, call them anti-Rasker. Anti-Rasker. Anti-Rasker.
I like this.
You go out, you get your Rasker on, I'm going to yell at you. Why do you have that on? Boo! Get out of my face. It's America. I want Rask out of here. yeah. All right. Get to your calls coming up next here in Gaspar Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
With the drop D tuning, my favorite of all the Van Halen songs, Unchained. Honoring Eddie Van Halen, who passed unfortunately at 65 earlier this week due to throat cancer. Throughout the day here on Gaspar Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's see if I can hit the post. That's what we call that here in the radio biz. Ah, damn it.
Did you miss it?
Yeah, see, you talk during the music lead up until the vocals start. And a little rusty there.
I was going to say to you while you were talking, I was like, Jim, could you introduce this the way you would have in your former life?
Yeah, I probably could have, but I'm real rusty there. It's been years since I've been talking up songs. Ah, damn it. Believe me, I'm so much better off here in a talk format, sports radio. It's like one of the only viable options left in this goofy business. On the music end of things, oh boy, good luck for those of you still in that. I did want to tell this story because I was talking a bit about Eddie Van Halen earlier. And I know that, you know, Chris, like, you're not the biggest music guy anyway. So, you know, let me go off here for a second. Because I do this one, I said earlier, this not many celebrity deaths shake me up. In fact, when some people like, I don't know, act a little too sad or
bereaved.
Yeah, over someone you really didn't know, like, oh, calm down. But every once in a while, there is one that's like, oh, man, that sucks. And you kind of dwell on it, maybe get real sad. And Eddie Van Halen was one of those guys for me. And so I said on Felger and Maz during the week when that news was announced that, to me, he is the most influential guitarist of all time, especially if you're of a certain age, like me, early 40s. He's one of the reasons, if not the reason, I picked up a guitar. And I was so obsessed with Eddie Van Halen at one point, Chris, late teens. Guitar gym, if you will, because like all I did was like play and practice for 15 hours a day, like woodshed, they would call it. Now, was I any good? Not really, but I was obsessed with it.
Okay.
And Eddie Van Halen had a signature guitar. It was the Eddie Van Halen, the EVH Music Man is what it was. And do you remember the want ad? Like pre-Craigslist, do you remember the
Oh, yes.
The want 100%. Advertiser?
Yeah.
You know, people wanting to buy rims and cheap Mustangs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember that. I totally remember that.
For those of you too young to know what the want ad is, it was like a bazaar in your hand. It was like a free-for-all. Like you could find whatever you want.
It was like Craigslist, but in like written paper form.
Yeah. Used automobiles, guitars, what have you. Just in the want ad thing was like $3 a pop. So I would peruse it week to week. I'm like, I'm going to find one of these music mans because they were a couple of grand. In the late 90s, I was like, well, I can't afford that. But if you can find a used guitar, you can usually find it cheaper, right? So I find one in the Want Ad, one of these EVH Music Men, for sale down in the Cape for like $700, which at the time, I think I was 18, might as well have been $1 billion to me at the time. But I had saved up, and I get in contact with this guy, and I'm buying this guitar. And again, this is pre-Google Maps. You know, I had to like figure out how I'm going to go to this random address in the Cape, which I had really never been to. But I find the address. I take a buddy with me. It's no house it's not just a random guy's house. It's like a mansion that I'm going to.
Oh, geez.
Right? So my buddy and I pull up and we look at each other like, where are we? Like, it's a long driveway, pull up to like what is essentially a mansion. I'm like, okay. We ring the doorbell and the guy that I had spoke to on the phone, Michael, answers the door. And he looks like real rocker dude, like feathered hair, 80s look. Leather pants, the whole nine yards. And he had nice eyes, too. I remember he had, like, these nice blue eyes. I still remember this, like, yesterday. It's, like, 20-some-odd years ago. And, again, my buddy and I are standing there kind of perplexed. Like, what the hell is this? And the guy says to us, oh, I got the guitar. It's down in my studio. Follow me. Studio? All right. So we go down to the basement. where I'm kind of expecting, you know, a dude's basement where it's, you know, just like a ragtag little operation, a little bit of a mixing board, whatever. He thinks he's like rocker dude, but no, it's a full-blown recording studio, Chris.
Wow.
Big mixing board.
Yeah.
Vocal booth. Acoustic siding. All of that stuff. And there it was on the stand. The gold EVH Music Man guitar, the one that Eddie Van Halen is playing in the Pound Cake video. I still wish that I had the thing.
It's the Holy Grail.
So I inspect the fretboard, which is me pretending to know what the hell I'm looking at because I was like a hack guitarist, but it's all this, you know, we'd see people do this at guitar center, like, yep, oh no, looks good. But I knew I was going to buy the thing anyway. I just wanted it to say that I had the EVH Music Man. So I hand the money over to Michael, and he throws in this like badass leather gig bag, and the transaction's finished. And it's at this point where I'm about to leave this guy's mansion and recording studio where I follow him out of this, you know, we're walking out, and I notice there's gold records on the wall, Chris, like framed gold records. And this is what I had to ask. Why do you have gold records? Who are you? And that's when Michael, who I was buying the guitar from, pointed to one of these gold records, one of the plaques on the wall, as we were heading up the stairs from his basement studio, and it said Stryper, Stryper. Do you know who Stryper is, Chris?
I don't.
They're a Christian hair metal band.
Oh, really?
Who used to dress up like bees, essentially. Their uniforms were like yellow and gold. Yellow and black, and it kind of, they looked like bees. They were a Christian metal band,
okay. Feathered
hair, all that jazz. And that's who I bought the guitar from, the lead guitarist of Stryper, who had all these gold records. His name is Michael Sweet. I think he still might live in the area.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, and it was only a few years later that I realized, you know, I sucked at guitar, and I gave it up, and I sold the thing.
You sold it?
Oh, Chris.
How much did you sell it for?
You know, so I think I bought it for $700. I probably sold it for like $5.
Oh,
a businessman I'm not.
You're in this business.
So no, telling me. You know, I sell it for less money. I still wish I had the thing. And at that point, like I'm in my early 20s, so like I need beer money and for like going out.
Oh God,
stupidest man alive.
Was this when you went? Did you transition from guitar to Wiki DJ?
Yeah. Well, no. I transferred from guitar to going into school for radio because I initially was like, I'm going to be a guitarist, man. Any bands that were dumb enough to have me for a minute were like, this guy's weighing us down. Get him out of here. So I was like, okay, I can't be a musician. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to school for music recording. I'm going to have a studio and work in a studio. And within a couple of weeks of going to one of these ragtag schools around here, it was the Mass Communications College. Doesn't exist anymore. It was like the DeVry of schools for music and radio. I realized, I was like, oh, I hate this, and I don't want to do this. And then one of the professors that was one of the recording guys, he had like credits with Philip Glass.
Oh, yeah.
He had done some engineering on Double Fantasy, the album with John and Yoko. Like, you know, he had real credits, and he told us like day one, here's what's going to happen to you if you decided to go into and be a recording engineer. You're going to develop a massive drug habit. You're probably going to get divorced 2 times. Like, he was straight up as real as F, and, you know, a few of us were looking at each other like, well, we've made bad decisions. But I just didn't like it. It didn't click.
Okay.
So I transferred over to radio. That's how I ended up in radio. Long story short there. So it's in a lot of ways, me buying that guitar led me to being here today. Again, I've made bad decisions. I kid. Kind of.
Some other time you'll have to tell the corollary to that story, which is I do want to find out how you actually transitioned to Wiki DJ.
I run the gamut of all the things that I like outside of like country music, which I mostly despise post like 1985 country music, like bro country. I hate all that. Like, I like all genres, and I like rap and hip hop and dance music and stuff like that. So, and DJing's easy. Any idiot, as long as you can like tap your foot and count to, you know, count the beats per minute, you can DJ. So I was able to pull that off. And you can kind of say you're a musician, even though you're cheating the system. It's just an easy way to, like, I don't know, get girls and get drunk on the cheap. That's what DJing was good for. But, yeah, there's the story of Eddie Van Halen, how he influenced me, how I went and bought the Eddie Van Halen Music Man guitar for just $700, I think it was at the time, if I remember correctly, from Michael Sweet, the guitarist of Stryper. And now that thing is gone. Who even knows where that is now? Oh, I wish I still had that thing. Man, I'm an idiot.
So you've had quite the life, the USS flag and the Eddie Van Halen guitar.
Got a bunch of dumb stories, Chris. I really do. That's probably why I've been sort of successful in radio. a couple open lines you want to join us. We have 1 hour to go here on Gaspar Murray. I did promise I would get to your phone calls in that last segment, but I had to be self-indulgent, and tell that Eddie Van Halen story. So there we go. We'll move on from that, do the headlines here, get you caught up. The Bruins have made another signing. Get excited for Craig Smith, everyone. Tell you a little bit about that, what's going on with the Patriots, whether or not Cam Newton's going to play, here in the headlines, and then back here on Gaspar Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.